month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I awakened this morning to the news of the attack in Israel, in northern Israel, where two men, vicious cowards, in my opinion, got on a bus and started shooting people indiscriminately. They killed six people. They wounded many more. There probably will be more dead at the as people are clinging to life right now. They were killed in retaliation and in protection of those people. A security guard and an armed citizen got in on the act and took those guys down before they could kill more people. And as you know, Hamas, which is the Hebrew word for evil, they praised the resistance fighters. That's what they call them, resistance fighters. They're shooting men and women and children indiscriminately, people that aren't involved in any of this, and they call them resistance fighters. You know, people like to paint Israel as this terrible nation that's killing people in Gaza. Hamas hides behind women and children. They put their military arsenal, their weapons in schools and hospitals and things like that. They're the ones that are just appalling. I mean, the evil has no bounds, and they set this up. The unwritten motto of Hamas is, "We love death as much as you love life." Just a sick, evil organization. Israel is just surrounded by terrorists who want to kill them. As Dennis Prager said, if Israel laid down their arms, or if Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and all the nations surrounding Israel would lay down their arms and say, "We're not going to fight you anymore," there would be peace in the Middle East. And if Israel laid down their arms and said to their enemies, "We're not going to fight you anymore," they would attack them and destroy them inside of 24 hours. That's the difference. And so we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it's really sickening when you think about it. These college campuses that are, calling for two-state solution, and they're for Gaza and for the Gazan refugees and for the Palestinians and against Israel, and they paint Israel as the oppressor here and the evil. They reframe this in their minds that Israel is evil and the Palestinians and Hamas are good. They conveniently forget October 7th. When the mask was removed and you saw the evil hearts of these people. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 is a verse we go back to time and time and time again. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." You know, I see in liberalism and in the liberal ideas, people who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And they look down on middle America, especially. Well, you guys are just your local yokels, your rubes, your country bumpkins. You know, that's one of the things about Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Association, American Family Radio. His enemies thought he was just a country bumpkin. What they didn't realize is Don Wildman was very, very smart and very insightful. Just because he had a Southern accent doesn't mean and didn't mean that he was deficient mentally. He was not deficient mentally. He's very, very smart. And I've noticed that about people. They immediately put you down. If you have a Southern accent, if you sound in their ears like Gomer Pyle, well, you're obviously an uneducated boob. Well, that is not the case. Now, we do in the South have a Southern accent, and we can sometimes come across like, you know, maybe we're not as educated as others are. You know, I find it almost comical when you hear Jasmine Crockett, when you hear her in older videos where she is talking very coherently and no accent, and then you hear her now where she's trying to sound like she's from the hood, and the way she communicates is just like, what happened to you? She's doing that on purpose. Southerners, that's just how we talk. And so it is kind of funny how these people, they're wise in their own eyes and they're clever in their own sight. Now, I ran across some videos, speaking of that, you know, people who think professing themselves to be wise, this is how Romans 1 puts it, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Greek word there is where we get our English word moron. They became morons. And the things that you see these educated college professors, Dr. So-and-so that studied and studied and studied, and he gets up there and advocates that women can be men and men can be women, and you think, how stupid can you possibly be? Well, he professes to be wise, but he's an utter fool. Now, Milton Friedman, I don't know if you have listened to him much. There's some clips of Milton Friedman floating around on social media. Milton Friedman, he was born in 1912. He died in 2006. He won a Nobel Prize in 1976. American economist and advocate of capitalism. He taught at the University of Chicago for 30 years and a proponent of limited government, deregulation, and individual liberty. And I ran across a couple of quotes from him where he was doing an interview or doing a lecture, and he makes so much sense. What I like about Milton Friedman is he just uses everyday language. He doesn't talk in highbrow code. He talks to where the common man can understand him. Very, very insightful. And he was talking about why the noble plans from the left. We want to, our war on poverty, and we want to fight drugs and do all these things, and we're going to throw all this money at the war on poverty. And like Gavin Newsom, you know, he's got this war on homelessness. They have more homeless than they've ever had before, more poverty than they've ever had before. And yet they're spending, the state of California, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to fight this, and they're just creating more problems. Why is that? This is Milton Friedman talking about why that is.
Why is it that such noble objectives lead to such disappointing results? After all, the objective of promoting the welfare of the ordinary man, of eliminating poverty and disease, providing security for old age and against mishaps of fortune, those are noble objectives. I do not believe that there is anybody who can regard them as undesirable. Why is it that the attempt to effectuate such noble objectives by using the machinery of government tends to produce results which are so disappointing? In my opinion, the fundamental answer is very simple. Using government to achieve these objectives means trying to do good with someone else's money. And when you try to do good with someone else's money, there are two basic flaws in the process. The first of those is that nobody spends somebody else's money as carefully as he spends his own. And therefore, you're going to have waste and ultimately fiscal catastrophe. But the second is that you cannot do good with someone else's money unless you first take it away from them. And therefore, force, coercion, sending a policeman around to pick somebody else's pocket is at the very heart of the welfare state. And the situation becomes one in which bad means corrupt the good intentions.
Well, that was Milton Friedman talking about that. So you don't spend other people's money the same way you spend your own. You're not as careful with it because it's just like a bottomless pit of money. That's how government looks at money, sadly, but it's true. And then you have to take it. Where do you get this money? Well, you have to take it from people. So you take it from those that have, and you wastefully and without care, just start doling it out on people that don't have. And it seems good on paper, but it never works. And this is what Milton Friedman had to say in terms of why this is bad, why welfare is a bad thing.
The programs have an insidious effect on the moral fiber of both the people who administer the programs and the people who are supposedly benefiting from it. For the people who administer it, it instills in them a feeling of almost godlike power. For the people who are supposedly benefiting, it instills a feeling of childlike dependence. Their capacity for personal decision-making atrophies. The result is that the programs involve a misuse of money. They do not achieve the objectives which it was their intention to achieve. But far more important than this, they tend to rot away the very fabric that holds a decent society together.
Well, that was Milton Friedman. So insightfully telling us why this stuff doesn't work, why the plans on the left never work. And it's just, well, we need more money. And so we just build this monstrosity, the education department. We have all this money going to the education department, and the results are worse than ever before. We need to be able to evaluate things and say, any good organization does that, any good church does that, and to evaluate and say, hey, is this working or is it not working? And if it's not working, the answer is not, well, it maybe let's pour another $100 million into it. Maybe then it will work. And the welfare state, I remember as a little kid when food stamps came out and welfare came out, and people didn't want to be on that because it showed that I can't make it on my own. Now there's no stigma at all. And I take as many freebies from the government as I possibly can get. What does the Bible have to say? The Bible says that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. We're not helping people when we give to able-bodied people. As Adrian Rogers used to say, we are to help people who cannot work, not people who will not work. And if you help people who will not work, you just perpetuate the dysfunction, and you enable them to be lazy and just unproductive Listen, hunger is a good motivator to get out there and start to do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and we're talking about a host of subjects of why this stuff doesn't work, why the left has an ideology that always fails. It sounds good on paper, but it never works because it's rooted in a false premise. Well, we are up against a break, but we will be right back after 3 minutes. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about why liberalism doesn't work. As we played that clip from Milton Friedman, he said, you know, a lot of these plans and programs, they have good intentions. And, you know, we have a statement, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so they have these noble intentions. Hey, we want to eradicate drugs. We want to eradicate poverty. We want to end homelessness. Well, I want to do all that too. Well, how are we going to go about that? Well, we're going to take money from you and throw money at them. And that doesn't work. That never works. Why? Because it violates the biblical mandate. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. And so when you give to people who will not work, you just turn them into slugs. You turn them into gimme, gimme, gimme people that just want to, the government is supposed to just take care of me. That's not the purpose of government. I heard one pastor say, he was a black pastor talking to the black congregation. He said, this idea that the government exists to take care of me and I'm going to vote for a politician who's going to help me. I don't care if we take from this group and give to me so long as we give to me, so long as I don't have to work. That's not good. And that doesn't help the person. The reason why the Bible says if a man will not work, neither shall he eat, is because hunger is a good motivator, and it does something to a person. It helps them psychologically when they are contributing, when they're working. Now, we see this a lot when people retire. Oftentimes, men who retire at 65 or 70 or whatever it is, they get old quickly. And they can die soon after retirement. Why? Because they lose their drive. They lose their the impetus to get up in the morning. And unless you're super disciplined and can really focus in on some things, I have a dear, dear friend who's 85 years old, and he is always working on things, very disciplined. And even when he retired, he ended up buying a business so he'd have something to piddle with. And he's very involved in city politics and helping out the city and helping people. And so that gives him a reason for being. If he didn't have that, he would be like, well, what's my purpose? Everybody has to have purpose. As we had Eric Scalise on the program last week, he said, people need love, and they need significance, and they need security. Those three needs and significance. What is my life doing? How is my life making a difference in the lives of others? Well, you know, you've heard a lot about this this idea from the left, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's really a Marxist ideology, but this idea that, you know, we all should be the same equity, equal outcomes. Obviously, sports programs and professional sports don't operate that way. They don't care what color your skin is. They're putting the best players on the court, the best players on the field, and because they want to win. And that's the way it needs to be in the classroom. That's the way it needs to be in education. That's the way it needs to be in business. It's the best product that wins, the best salesman that has the best product and presents it well that wins. the best person for the job that gets the job. And, you know, the Lord is very, very clear. He doesn't make us all the same. And so you read about the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. One guy got five talents, one guy got two talents, and one guy got one talent according to their abilities. And then they did business with them. And the first guy, as you know, the parable of the five-talent guy, he produced five more. A talent is a large sum of money, 60 to 80 pounds worth of, probably in this case, silver. It can be gold, but that would be a huge amount of money. So it's probably silver. But so you think the guy got five 70-pound sacks of silver. So lots of money. Even the guy that got 1 pound, he got one talent, he got 70 pounds of silver. So the five-talent guy trades with it, gets five more. The two-talent guy takes what he has, trades with it, gets two more. Both those guys doubled it. Both those guys got the same reward from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. But the one-talent guy, what did he do? Well, no doubt there were things going on in his heart where he said, I didn't get much, just this measly one talent. Why didn't I get as much as the other guy? This isn't fair. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to bury it in the ground. And he did nothing with it. Now, I've stated many times on the program and from the pulpit at First Baptist Texarkana, one of the questions we're going to hear when we stand before the Lord is, what did you do with what I gave you? The judgment seat of Christ is going to be a test of what did you do with your time, talent, treasure, with your opportunities. What did you do with what I gave you? Did you use it to increase my kingdom? Or did you bury your talent in the ground? Did you bury your time, talent, treasure in the ground? Now, I love this quote. I ran across this quote from a professor. His name is Glenn Lowry. Let me see. Yeah, my eyes are terrible. Glenn Lowry. And he's talking about affirmative action. And he says it's a surrender of dignity. This is... These were his comments.
Finally, I want to say equity is not equality. Equity, and I could name them, but I won't. The writers in the U.S. who are so prominent now in Ibram X. Kendi comes to mind. In promoting a certain ideology, assert, I see a disparity, I want equity. And by equity, they mean an equal representation. This is not equality. If you use a different standard of assessment in order to achieve equity, you've just patronized me. You've just communicated tacitly that you don't think I'm capable of performing according to the objective criteria of assessment as well as anybody else. I am now your client. I am now a ward. I go or come by your leave. This argument that we blacks must be made equal and you have to open up the doors and let us in, never mind that our test scores are not as great, is pathetic. It's a surrender of dignity. You will not be equal at the end of that argument, even if you get what you ask for. There's no substitute for earning the respect of your peers. If they grant it to you out of guilt or pity, they have just reduced you, not elevated you.
That was Glenn Lowry, and he's a black guy, and speaking to this idea of affirmative action. It doesn't help anybody, just like welfare doesn't help anybody. Now, we do and are commanded by the Lord to help those who can't help themselves. Don't help those who won't help themselves. Parents know this, that you can't enable your children to be ne'er-do-wells. If they choose to be a lazy slug, well, there are consequences with that, and they need to experience the consequences. That's why in the home, it is so important that parents have rules of the home, and they have consequences for breaking those rules. So the kids know, as my little grandsons know, in the house, there's a wooden spoon called Sally Sad Spoon. And if you disobey mom and dad, if you step out of bounds, we're going to throw a flag like the football officials, and we are going to spank your little bottom, and you're going to feel it, and you're going to know what is acceptable behavior and what is unacceptable behavior. And foolishness, the Bible says, is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Important for parents to discipline their kids because it prepares them for life. Now, you may have heard and seen the news about the Charlotte Rail murder, the tragic stabbing of a Ukrainian refugee, Irina Zarutska, 23-year-old, and she was killed on August 22nd. Of this year in Charlotte, North Carolina. She was on the Lynx Blue Line light rail there in Charlotte. And if you've seen the video, it's just horrific. She's just sitting on the bus. She had evidently finished her shift working at the pizza joint, and just sitting there, and this man comes and sits behind her and just pulls out a knife, doesn't know who this person is, stabs her three times in the neck, and she dies. And then he walks away, and he's arrested. He had a wound on his hand from the stabbing, and so he was treated at a hospital and charged with first-degree murder. Now, I believe that guy, it's an open and shut case. This should not be a long trial. You can see the video. You can see what he did. Now, the background of this person, DeCarlos Brown Jr., he had a history of 14 prior court cases in Mecklenburg County, including a six-year prison sentence for robbery with a dangerous weapon, breaking and entering, and larceny from incidents in 2013 and 2014. He was arrested in January 2025 for misusing 911, the phone service, claiming a man-made material controlled his body and a competency evaluation was ordered but not completed. His attorney has filed for another competency evaluation due to his history of mental health issues. He was reportedly homeless and did not purchase a ticket for the train. Okay, so if the guy is mentally ill, and as we've said, I maintain this, I think a lot of mental illness, that the demonic is involved in a lot of this. Not in every situation, obviously, but in a lot of situations where these people do these heinous acts of harm and violence and murder of a total stranger. It makes no sense. But it does when you think about what is the MO of the devil and his demonic horde, to steal and kill and destroy. And so this guy, they're going to try and say, well, this poor person, he's mentally deranged. Here's what I think they ought to do. I think they ought to have an immediate trial. They show the jurors the video. He's obviously guilty, and that shouldn't take more than a couple of days. And you could have that guy executed for his crime by the end of the week. If we would start doing things like that, it would change things in our country, because as the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Here's what the Lord says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, for those who are against capital punishment. And this guy, this guy can't stand trial. He's not mentally fit to stand trial. Well, he committed murder, and so he can be mentally unfit in the grave. But Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, the Lord says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. That's the point of government in Romans chapter 13. It does not bear the sword in vain, the Bible says. And it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. This man practices evil. this man committed a heinous crime, a capital crime. He murdered a girl, and even the way he did it, he's sitting behind her and he just pulls out a knife and stabs her in the neck. Just sickening. That guy needs to forfeit his life. He needs to be executed. And people need to know this is what happens if you do this stuff. And, you know, you have to have law and order, and you have to let people know, hey, you, if you violate these laws, there's going to be a consequence to that. And if you violate a law where you kill someone, and it's not a crime of passion, it's just an indiscriminate killing, well, you're going to be executed for that. Now, in Israel, as my guide told me when I was there a few years ago, she said, if you commit an act of terrorism in Israel, she said, they execute you immediately, and they take all your relatives and usher them out of the country. You are expelled from the country if you're not a natural Israeli citizen. And they don't play around with that stuff. Why? Because you can't let that foul and fester. As they had the attack just yesterday on the bus, well, those two guys were killed. And they're going to investigate those two guys. And if they have anybody living in Israel that's connected to them, they're out. And you have to do that. Otherwise, you don't survive. So we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for America, that people would come out of the ether, that people would really stop to see when they hear all these things that sound so good on paper, as Milton Friedman said, the noble objectives of stamping out homelessness and poverty and all these things. But how are we going to achieve that? And how is it working? It's not working. Just the whole idea of socialism, how younger people get sucked into thinking this is a good thing. Where has it ever worked? Nowhere. And if we go that route, it will destroy our country. Praise God that Donald Trump sees that and is trying to make America great again. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we're talking about woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We've been talking about how these noble objectives from the left always fail because they're rooted in a faulty premise. As Milton Friedman so insightfully pointed out, you're taking somebody else's money and you are trying to fix a problem with somebody else's money. I always find it very telling when you look at these politicians that want to do all these good things, quote unquote good things. Look and see, how much money do you give away to charitable organizations? So often it's very, very little. It's 1% or less. They're not giving their own money to these things, but they want to give somebody else's money to these things. And when you give other people's money, as Milton Friedman pointed out, you're not careful with other people's money, and you're not helping people when you just pour money on them. Because that doesn't solve the problem, and then you create a bunch of people that are just dependent upon you. And the whole idea is that people become independent and can fend for themselves. And you know, it's just like the illustration from nature. What does the mother bird do? She wants her kids to be fed in the nest, and then as they grow to a certain age, hey, I'm kicking you out of the nest. You have to fend for yourself. You have to start on your own. Well, I thought this was interesting. I found this. Elon Musk retweeted this. So the horrible murder that was done on the Charlotte Lynx Blue Line light rail in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the 23-year-old woman was brutally murdered, stabbed in the neck by this sick, twisted person who didn't even know her, just wanted to commit an act of murder. That video was released on September 5th. Now, the murder took place on August 22nd. And the murderer is a black guy and the victim is a white girl. So it doesn't fit the narrative that the liberal media likes. And somebody posted, and Elon Musk reposted, the End Wokeness X site said, AP stories on this deadly attack, zero. PBS, zero. New York Times, zero. National Public Radio, zero. Wall Street Journal, zero. BBC, zero. CNN, zero. Washington Post, zero. Reuters, zero. MSNBC, zero. Zero stories on the deadly attack. Now, if it had been reversed, how many stories? It would be 24/7 stories on this. There would be riots. It would be another George Floyd situation. But because it's a white girl getting murdered by a black guy and it doesn't fit the narrative, it's, you know, in this Marxist ideology, the white people, the white man is the oppressor and the black man is the oppressed and the white person is the racist and the black man can't be a racist. And that's how they figure. It's impossible for them to be racist because they're the oppressed. And, you know, as been said, I was listening to a video just the other day from my friend Daryl Harrison. He said that is critical race theory. And that's what people have bought into. And that's what colleges have been teaching and brainwashing our kids with. And they believe that hogwash. And the Martin Luther King dream that I always go back to is a good dream. That my four little children would be judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. We desperately need to get back to that. Who cares what color your skin is? Let's judge you based on the content of your character. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we have our friend Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
All is well. All is well. Thank you, sir. Pastor Jeff, I very much believe in capital punishment, and I do believe we can support that scripturally, especially when there's, when you know, you have incidents like this happening. And I'm just wondering, Jeff, you know, oftentimes these people are they're convicted and they're given a life sentence, when I think we can support scripturally that there should be an execution here in this particular instance. How much, speaking of spending somebody else's money, how much money does it cost the American taxpayer to house a criminal such as this per year? Have you gotten any idea?
I looked that up at the break because I saw that you were going to ask that. It says that according to AI, the national average in state prisons is around $35,000 a year per inmate. Now, in federal facilities, it's more. It's almost $43,000 a year. In California, the costs have surged to $132,000 per inmate annually, driven by high employee compensation and court-mandated health care improvements. North Carolina is around $44,000 a year. It's a lot. By any stretch, you know, by any metric, we're spending a lot of money. Now, I'm definitely not advocating, and Obi, I don't think you are either, that, you know, everybody that gets arrested and has to serve in prison should be executed. We're not saying that. But in Texas, some years ago, they had prison farms, and they made those guys work, and those prisons were self-sustaining because they sold produce, and they made things, and they made furniture and things like that that they sold. And so those guys were put to work, which is a much better way to handle things, because then those guys, they get tired out if they do manual labor, and then they feel good at the end of the day. Everybody feels good when you sense that I did something today, I produced something today. I just didn't sit in a cell and do a bunch of nothing for hours and hours and hours. And so I'm all for getting back to that.
Yes, yes, I do agree, you know, in terms of some offenses, but when it's egregious like this one, I think there needs to be a swift execution
yes.
of justice. And that would serve as a deterrent to some of those that may be contemplating the same sort of activity. And
yes.
I think it's unfortunate that that doesn't happen very often. And even if someone is convicted and is on death row, they're often there for years and years and years and
right.
years. We're paying for that. And why should we be paying for somebody else to murder somebody like that? I just can't support that. I just think if there was some justice administered in these obviously very, very, you know, there's no doubt this guy is guilty.
Right.
Then I think it would serve as a deterrent to anybody contemplating a future activity like that.
I totally agree. You know, if you start stiffening the penalty for getting, you know, breaking the law, people take note of that and they don't do it. I had a friend of mine, not to praise Saudi Arabia by any stretch of the imagination, but a friend of mine that worked in Saudi Arabia for Aramco, and he told me, he said, they don't have crime there. Because if you have crime there, you die. If you steal from people, they cut off your hand. And he said, I would be totally at ease to have my wife and my daughters walk down the street, you know, after hours, late at night in Saudi Arabia, because they're not going to be accosted there. Why? Because the penalty is going to fit the crime, and the penalty is severe, and the penalty is swift, and people know that. And therefore, they get in line with that. So I appreciate that, Obi. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate you, my brother. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. How are you, Greg?
In there, I'll tell you, thank the Lord for the sun shining, and it's a little cool, but that's better than 90 degrees like it's been being, so thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of tie it into you, what you were saying this morning. They was a shooting a little town here north of Tupelo a couple weeks back, and I'm an early bird. I get up, I like to get in the Word, and things a lot quieter, and just a good time to be with the Lord. But usually on WTBA, they'll show stories they wouldn't dare show in lunchtime or that evening. They was a shooting, like I said, north of Tupelo, a little town, and the girl they was interviewing, Pastor Jeb, she was 13 or 14. I just turned 62. I'm 22 right now. Just the youngest thing I ever seen. They could have put a bicycle in front of her with training wheels, and she'd have been a poster child, right? Mm-hmm. Just to get herself. But anyway, they asked her, said, what about the shooting? She said, I don't know what to think about all this shooting. What am I supposed to tell my three-year-old?
Mm.
And my dog liked to hit the floor, Brother Jeff. You know, you think about it. I don't think it's funny, but some people could chuckle at it. But, you know, you think 15 years from now, that girl is 28 and that boy is 15, 18-year-old. probably six, whatever. And what good? The thing the Lord shared with me, and I've dealt with it. But what good is coming of that? You understand where I'm coming from, Pastor Jeff?
Yeah, it's just, it's terrible. I mean, it's just, it's a destructive ideology that has gotten into that culture that just that's going to lose every single time. And this, you know, that hip hop kind of ghetto gangster culture is going to produce death. And it's terrible. And so it has nothing to do with the color of a person's skin, but it has to do if you buy into that ideology. And that ideology has infected and infiltrated the minds and hearts of so many that are living in the inner cities. And it's just, it's destroying their family, it's destroying their future, it's destroying everything. But it's just, that's how the devil worked. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And if you believe, as I referenced a black pastor who really calls out the black community, if you believe these lies and you think the government is there just to provide for you and you don't have to work and you can be a, you know, a gang member and you just live by selling drugs and shooting people and all those things, well, you're not going to have a long life. And you're going to have a terrible existence. And then when you die, you're going to face God, the judge of all the earth. And he is going to deal with you in righteousness. And it is just horrific. It's a horrific existence. It's a horrific eternity. And so I appreciate the call. Well, so as Obi was asking, how much does it cost to house these people? Well, many people remember the name Charles Manson. Charles Manson was part of the Manson cult, and he got people to carry out the terrible, horrible crimes and killing Sharon Tate and others in those horrible crimes in the L.A. area. LaBianca, he did, was involved in the Tate LaBianca murders from 1971, and or in the, I guess, before that. But he was imprisoned, incarcerated from 1971 to 2017, 46 and a half years. Cost taxpayers around $2 million to house him. And he was just a drain. And he had, in my opinion, he had forfeited his right to live. And if we had gone based on Genesis chapter 9, well, he would have forfeited his right to live. He was involved in these murders. He got other people to carry out the murder for him. He could say, well, I didn't do it. But he got weak-minded people to do these terrible, horrible things. And it's just like if you put out a contract on someone's life and you hire a hitman and the hitman kills them, well, that comes back to you and you were involved in their murder. So I think that we need to get back to strong law and order, and especially in this Charlotte attack, that person has forfeited his right to live, and it doesn't take a long time to figure that out. You can watch the video and know, okay, he's guilty, let's enact a righteous judgment upon him, and he is going to be executed for that horrific capital crime. Well, I thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. It's a joy for me to get to share with you just from my heart and from the scripture what's going on in our world, and we want to be like the sons of Issachar. We want to know the times and what Israel should do. The sons of Issachar, men who understood the times and what Israel should do. Christians need to understand the times, and they need to be abreast of current events. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and we need to remind ourselves every day, what is my purpose for being? It is to be the Lord's witness. Witness by your good deeds, your shine, how you work, and by your share, how you open your mouth and tell people of Jesus, who is mighty to save. So God bless you. Go out, shine, and share.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.